I like to say that I born in February 14th, so my parents were like just very creative about what's the name for this boy, what's the name for Valentine. And well, I born in Mexico. I am from Puebla, a beautiful city, 2 hours from Mexico City. Whenever you go to that area, you can go home. I have a place there for whenever wants to go, and please visit. Please don't go all together because I don't have a place for you, but maybe by couples or something. So my intention tonight is share something about these scientific-based protocols on the cultivation of compassion and self-compassion. As Rich mentioned, I am certified in a program called Compassion Cultivation Training, which was developed by the Stanford University. And there is another beautiful protocol called Mindful Self-Compassion, which was developed by Christine Neff and Christopher Germer. And both of those protocols are very useful for people who want to cultivate compassion for others and compassion for oneself. Mm-hmm. Both of those are based on contemplative practices in the Buddhist lineage. So our beautiful practices are completely secular in meaning that anyone can practice those and benefit from them. So that's my intention. And I want to do just a little bit of frame before starting with the exercise we will do. One of these things is about language. It's something I am usually very like aware of. Normally I struggle to convey the meaning I want to share. So please, if I say something which is it doesn't make sense, please raise your hand and tell me. I really will appreciate that. Or if I say something that can sound harsh, please let me know. Oh, and that's the other thing about the frame, because I come from a different culture, maybe I say something which cannot be very sensitive or, like proper, so please let me know. I will learn lots from that. And also, this is a teaching I just received. I am attending to a program called Community Dharma Leaders, which is for people in the Insight Meditation tradition. And we had the visit of Ruth King, and she is specialized in teaching how to host a diverse group. And then she suggests us to bring to mind this, I think it's in the Monopoly, in game, you know the game Monopoly? Yeah. And there is a card called Get Out of Jail Free. Are you familiar with where?
Monopoly.
Yes, and then she explained that whenever you are going to a diverse group, just tell them, if I make a mistake, please let me use this Get Out of Jail Free. It's not because I am mean, it's because I don't know the culture, so. That's an apologize in advance. Okay, and I think that's it. Yes, so something I'd like to share for starters is that in the discourses of the Buddha, there is a beautiful sutta called Karaniya Metta Sutta, which has a beautiful story. It seems like in a place in the north of India called Savati or Sravasti, there were a group of monks who wanted to do long-term retreat. And then they went to the forest, and it seems like they started to be, you know, like a fear of the context, and something scared them in that area. No? They started to listen to different sounds and to see horrible things. And then they went to the Buddha and told him, you know, we are very scared because weird things are going on there. And then the Buddha told them, you know, you should practice this meditation. And then he taught them a meditation and a practice called metta, which means loving kindness or goodwill. And then they started to practice that, And it seems like the things in that area started to calm down, and they became free of fear. And when I heard about it, I thought, this is the practice I have to do. About my fears and about my anxiety. And then I started to study this practice, and that is why I came to Stanford to do all of this training, and then with Christopher Germer to learn more about self-compassion. And I just share a little bit of this teaching, so you can have the taste, and then we will jump to the practices. And this, these are the words. It says, "This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness, wishing, in gladness and in safety, may all beings be at ease. Let none deceive another, or despise any being in any state. Let none, through anger or ill will, wish harm upon another. Even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child, so with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings." That's a small part of the sutta, which it seems is very, how to say, nowadays it could be very useful to practice, to be able to be close to oneself and to others. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another. Even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child, so with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings. So that's the teaching. If you're interested, I'm sure the sutta is available, and I can send you the link where I got it. It's a beautiful sutta. If we have time, I would love to read this with you, the whole sutta. Well, the teaching. And these practices I will share now with you are a way to develop this kind of heart. So, there is a teacher, and I'd like to know if any of you have heard about him, Analayo Bhikkhu. Have anyone? No? Mm-hmm. Yeah? Well, Analayo Bhikkhu is a very important scholar in these practices. And he says that there are three benefits of the practice of Brahma Viharas, or the qualities of the heart. There are three main benefits. And he says, these practices of the heart offers an experience of liberation of the mind. It is as heaven on earth, living with all of these attitudes of the heart open to others. It is as heaven on earth. The second benefit is every second you dwell on these attitudes of the mind, you are free from anger. It seems like they are a beautiful antidote for anger. And the third benefit is that, and I want to read this by Jack Kornfield, he says, many of us in the West come to the practice with a lot of baggage, personal problems, even issues of abuse, and we need psychotherapy to go along with insight meditation. You know, some people, and it's my case, and maybe the case of many people, comes to these meditation practices with a lot of luggage, he says. Baggage. Maybe we need to edit the recording. With a lot of baggage, personal problems, even issues, of etc. So he says, maybe we would need some psychotherapy, but Analayo Bhikkhu says, the practices of the heart addresses a considerable part of the work being done through psychotherapy. So what has been found by science is that many of these practices really address a lot of issues related to our mind, to the way we see ourselves, so are very healthy, you know, for treating anxiety, fear, anger, depression, etc. So it seems like they have a lot of benefits. And just to start to, with the practice and to see what is present in the room. Ah, and there is another part of the brain. All of these exercises, of course, are optional. So if you don't want to do the exercise, completely free, and no one will be just pointing at you like you are doing the exercise. Of course. Yeah. So, is something we would like to I'd like to ask is, if any of you have had the experience of finding easier to be kind to others than to be kind to yourself. Have any of you had that experience? Yes? Yes? Do you want to raise your hand? Maybe. Yes, okay. That's a common experience. Yeah. There are some scientific evidence that shows 78% of the population finds more difficult to be compassionate to themselves than to others. So that's interesting. No, because there is, at least in Mexico, we say, if you don't have compassion for yourself, you cannot have compassion for others. Well, science is finding something a little bit different. Science says many people can be kind and warm towards others, and they cannot be kind and warm towards themselves. So it seems like there is some job to do about developing compassion for oneself. So I will not ask you to raise your hands in it, but does anyone has in the last week been harsh to yourself? The last week? Maybe. Maybe in the last couple of days. Maybe in the last couple of minutes. I don't know that that happened. So it seems like in our culture, in general, I mean, it's the same in Mexico. This is a very common experience. To be very harsh to oneself, even Christopher Germer and Christine F., they said, sometimes we talk to ourselves in a way that it's so harsh that we wouldn't talk to any other person. It's like we are so harsh to ourselves in a way that we wouldn't treat any other. So that's a very common experience. And this has many consequences. Maybe you can have some consequences in mind. But there are three specific consequences that happen with this. One is, when we are experiencing this self-criticism, this system of defense called fight, flight, or freeze activates. You know? It's like, someone is attacking me. Who is attacking me? Valentin. How is he doing this? By criticizing myself. Oh, you didn't say what you needed to say in the meditation, then you maybe didn't lead it very well, and maybe this word, and they got distracted, and it's all the time coming. It's very common. So when you have that, and you are not aware of that, and you don't have the practice of self-compassion, these three systems activate. So how this happens? There is another psychologist who is working on it. He's Gonzalo Brito from Chile, and he says, when the fight response starts going towards ourselves, what happens in our mind is that we say very bad things to ourselves. What we do is to offend ourselves because we think we didn't do something good. So it's like I start to criticize myself. No? That's one of the ways this system starts. The other way is the flight response is experienced as isolation. So I don't want to be close to others because I don't worth it, because maybe they will criticize me. So the second way it appears in our experience is isolation. And the third way, which is freeze, it's experienced as overthinking. No? The way to freeze is to overthink. And maybe some of you are related to that experience, maybe not, but it's like, what should I do? This or that? If I do this, maybe it will happen this. It's better not. Maybe I will go that way. But if I go that way, well, maybe this will happen, and then, no, better not. Maybe a third option. And then you are with that long time. and you're not able to make a decision. So this is what happens with when we have this strong experience of self-criticism. So maybe it's good to cultivate self-compassion, no? And we will start to recognize this experience of self-compassion by making some gestures. So if it's okay for you, for whomever it's comfortable, I invite you to stand up to see how is this experience of criticism and self-compassion and mindfulness. So I'll ask you to do some gestures. I'll do the gestures, and then I'll ask you to close your eyes and do the gesture and feel your body and see what you experience. Please take care of yourself. If some experience is strong, just let it go. No, there is no need for you to keep with the experience. So the first gesture is this. You close your hands, your fists, thank you, and then place your fist on your cheeks, close your eyes, and just press a little bit your cheeks and your fist, and notice what happened in your body. And whenever you have a clear distinction of this experience, just let the gesture go. And please tell me something about what you feel with this gesture. What are your experiences?
Repression.
Mm-hmm. Sorrow, sadness.
Mm-hmm. What else?
Fear. Mm-hmm. Tightness.
Mm-hmm. Any other?
Anger.
Yes.
Heaviness.
So it is said that this is the experience of self-criticism. And now please open your eyes and do this gesture with me. And then close your eyes. And notice what experience comes to your mind. What is your experience?
Tension was reduced.
Okay, releasing of tension. Tension was reduced. What else?
Openness.
Peace.
Warmth. Air and lightness on my hands and
legs. Lightness. Mm-hmm.
Relief.
Inviting.
It is said that this is the experience of mindfulness in this context of practice, in this self-compassion practice. And now please open your eyes and do this gesture with me. So, like embracing someone, and close your eyes and just notice what do you experience.
Safety.
Comfort.
Open chest.
Joy, acceptance.
Warmth.
Love.
So, in this protocol, it is said that this is the experience of common humanity, of experiencing connection, warmth with others. And now please open your eyes and do the next gesture with me. She's placing one or both hands on your chest. Close your eyes and notice which experience arises.
Warmth.
Mm-hmm.
Tenderness.
Love.
Mm-hmm.
Calmness.
Sorry?
Calmness.
Fullness, calm.
Relaxation.
Safety.
Mm-hmm.
Integrity.
Ease. It is said that this is the gesture that triggers the experience of kindness,
towards ourselves. And whenever you feel ready, just release the gesture, taking one or two deep breaths. You need it, just stretch a little bit. Slowly open your eyes and please take a seat again. Okay, so it seems that in our nervous system we have something called the mammalian caregiving system, and it can be activated with different gestures, but in the same way other experiences can be activated in this way, not like this experience of openness, releasing, which is related in this methodology to mindfulness. Also the experience of being close to others, it's also an experience of connection. It is called common humanity in this methodology. The experience of not being alone, the experience of there is something similar, there is something in which I am just like you and you are just like me. We are similar in that. And one way to define or describe these practices of mindful self-compassion is the cultivation of a loving, connected presence. The cultivation of a loving and connected presence. And these three components are the components we just experienced. Loving, remember this? Warm, safety, connected, common humanity, and presence, which is being aware of the suffering but not being kidnapped by the suffering. Being aware of the experience of pain, being aware of the experience of difficult emotions, but not being, I think, what is it? There is a word for
hijack.
Yes, not being hijacked.
How does that sound? Good?
Yeah.
Okay. By difficult emotions. It's being able to experience the emotions without just being captured by them. In terms of Paul Ekman, he says being able to see the emotions without the refractory period, which is the time when your emotion doesn't allow you to see more than what the emotion tells you is important. So three components again: presence, connection, and loving kindness. And for example, in this case it is said that mindfulness is like the counterpart exists? The counterpart of over-identification. So in one side is mindfulness, which is the ability to see the emotion, and in the other side is over-identification, when the emotion hijacked you. I learned a new word. Then the part of connection is connection versus isolation. Being able to be connected and not feel that you are the only one who is experiencing suffering. And that helps you to see your pain in a different dimension. It's not like, my pain is the biggest in the world and this is terrible and how am I going to go out of this? But when you feel this connection with others, maybe you can start to see your pain, not to erase your pain, nor to ignore your pain, but to see the pain in a more realistic way. Okay, there is suffering, but it's not the biggest suffering in the world. And there are many others experiencing this. And then this helps you to have a more objective or realistic way to approach your pain. And the third part is kindness versus criticism. Kindness to yourself versus being criticizing you and telling you these horrible things. In Mexico, I love to ask, what do you tell to yourself? Here, I will not do that because it will be recorded. But you can imagine what kind of things we tell ourselves in our daily lives. No? Sometimes harsh things, but that hurts. So, on the top of the suffering I am experiencing, I am creating more pain with this self-criticism. So it's a kind of releasing this part and diminishing the suffering. But because the pain is granted. Pain will be there, it's part of life. But if I criticize myself, I am putting on the top of this more and more suffering. Pema Chodron, a Tibetan Buddhist teacher, she says, you know, the first arrow is granted. Now you will have pain. But then it's up to you if you take the arrow and then you do one again and one again. And one way to create suffering on the top of the pain is taking the arrow and criticizing me all the time. Not because I was not good enough, because I was not strong enough, because I didn't have the performance I wanted. So those are the components. And what I'd like to invite you to do now is to do some more of these gestures which can help us to cultivate self-compassion in daily life. And I want to share this experience. I will take 2 minutes, maybe three, to share this experience because this practice has really helped me on my way to US this time. I went to New York and I experienced something I have been experiencing almost every time I come to US. So I went to JFK Airport, and some friends from the retreat, from the Community Dharma Leaders retreat, they were waiting for me outside. We were going to share a car from the airport to the Garrison Institute. And then I was kind of, you know, like very aware of the time because retreat started at 7, and I was arriving at 4, and then it was like 1.5 hours from the airport to the retreat center. And then, you know, it's like the long line in customs. So I was like, okay, I need to go fast so I can be on time. And then with this in mind, when I come to the line of customs, I see this is a horrible line. It's like a really long line. And I started, you know, to make the, you know, the numbers. And it's okay, if I just move 5 meters in 10 minutes. You know? And then I called my friend and I told him, Forrest, you know, maybe I'll be out of here in 1.5 hours. And we were just ready to, you know, like in the line to be on time. So I was like, okay, now I'm practicing, etc. Wishing everyone, may you be well, may you be good. And then you meet the same people every time because you are going this way. And then when I get to the officer, he did what I have experienced, I told you, almost every time. He said, okay, where do you come from? Mexico. Why are you coming? I am coming to a meditation retreat. Why do you come so often? Because I come to different retreats. Okay, and why have you traveled to India? And why have you traveled to Thailand? And okay, so I will need to take you to the office. To the office. And then he took me to the office. From 10 times I have come to US, 8 times I have been taken to the office. And this time, the officer was really rude. And he started to ask, and how do you feel? I know how you feel. And then he started to ask, and where do you take the money for coming here? And it was like, you know, minutes and minutes, and on the top of that I had this thinking of my friends waiting outside. So it's very interesting because the experience is of
high vulnerability. A friend in the retreat, in the CDL retreat, she told me, you know, you should make a complaint. And I told her, no way, because I am completely vulnerable. If I make a complaint, for me, my Mexican experience is like they can just put a small thing in my visa, and then I will not be able to come back. So in that experience, where I really didn't have, you know, like anything to, what do you do? What I was able to do was to start to practice self-compassion. That was the way I could feel present, connected, and kind. And it was the practice that came with me all the time in the office. And then I was able to finish the interview in a good mood and wishing the officer to be well. Otherwise, I am sure my mind would have created many horrible scenarios. So it was a very interesting experience, and I really can't tell you this. This really helps me to move through the experience, learning something and being more and trust more in the practice. So something what I did is what I will share with you with these gestures, because there are some gestures you cannot do with the officer in front of you. But there are others that you can do. So I will share this with you, and you can do the gestures being seated, or you can stand up, whatever you feel better. I will ask you just to close your eyes for some seconds and maybe taking 3 deep breaths, releasing any tension and just finding your body in a comfortable posture. Recognizing which areas of your body are tense and allowing them to relax. There is no need to fight for relaxation. Just releasing any tension which is present. So the first gesture I want to share with you is placing one open hand on one of your cheeks. I will be doing the gesture, so if you need to see the gesture, just open your eyes. Noticing an experience that arises on your body or your mind, your emotions. The second gesture is just placing the other hand in the other cheek. Allowing your face to be just caressed, warm. The next gesture is taking one hand to your chest, maybe feeling the beating of your heart, noticing the warmth of your hand and the pressure on your chest. Being mindful of the experience in your mind, body, and emotions. And the next gesture is placing both hands on the top of your chest, feeling the support, the pressure, the warmth. Slowly moving one of these hands to your belly, keeping one of the hands on your chest. Containing your experience, giving support and tenderness. Noticing whatever arises on your experience. If you notice any self-criticism, just acknowledge it's present. And now, placing one hand on the top of the other on your lap. And finally, embracing yourself with both arms. And if you want, you can tell yourself some of these loving kindness phrases, like, may I be safe, repeating the phrases on your mind, may I be free from fear and anxiety. Whatever phrase helps you to experience presence, connection, and kindness. And we will spend one more minute with the exercise, and you can release the gesture or keep it as you prefer. I invite you to listen to these sounds. Whenever you are ready, you can release the gesture and open your eyes. And I'd like to ask you, what was your experience? What did you feel? There is anything that happened in your body and your emotions. What did you feel?
I had one hand on my chest and the other one like on my solar plexus. I felt, first of all, self-criticism. Oop, there's some plaque. And so when you said that, I was like, okay, it's there. And then, but it felt support. There's something about that that really was helpful for me.
Support,
yeah.
Anyone else felt support in any of the gestures? Raise your hand if that was the experience of any other people. Support.
Next question. Which also made me feel sleepy.
Yeah. Was that the experience of anyone else, like feeling sleepy? Raise your hand.
It feels soothing.
Yeah.
Calming.
That word is very word. Anyone else felt soothing?
This one made me feel soothing.
This one.
Yeah.
And who experienced self-criticism for the postures? Raise your hand. Okay, good. It's part of the experience of the mind and the habit. You know, I shouldn't be feeling like this, or oh, what a belly you have.
I must point out that, you know, with two people raising their hands, that's way down from 78%, right?
Yeah. Good. Any other experience you had?
But just something that came to mind was that when we were doing the first postures, the hand and then the open, those are fairly common in both the Tai Chi and Qigong practices. I think they have figured that out.
Yeah.
In terms of its effects on the mind body.
That's very interesting. That's very important. Because it seems like this structure, this human structure as mammals or as it's very similar in all humans, and there are many gestures which are archetypical, related to experiences. And a little bit more about that is that, for example, William James, who was one of the initiators of the psychology in the West, he says, in terms of affection, touch is the alpha and the omega. Touch. It's so healing. It's so useful. And there is something I want to share also with you. Paul Hilbert, who is an Australian psychologist, he created something called compassion-focused therapy. He has studied three kinds of fear of compassion. He found three specific fears of compassion. And he said, there is one fear of compassion related to allowing to receive compassion from others. And that's something many people have. It's part of the human experience. Sometimes what comes to mind is like, no, if he does something for me, maybe it's because he wants something. Maybe I prefer to not receive because I don't know what they will ask in return. So there is it's a natural experience. And it's something that can be worked through the training of compassion. Second fear of compassion. The fear of offering compassion to others. Because if I offer compassion to others, a common thought that comes to mind is I will make them weak. If I offer compassion to others, maybe they will think I want something from them. You know, different thoughts about this offering of compassion. And the third fear of compassion is offering compassion to oneself. This practice of giving to myself this compassion, there are many beliefs about it. And what I have found in the sanghas I have shared this is like, there is something about, no, if I offer compassion to myself, I will be selfish. I can't offer compassion to myself. Compassion is for others. And something related to it is compassion, at least seeing from the evolutionist perspective. Is that correct? Compassion is an experience that arose for others in the tribe. Compassion was the way to take care of others in the group. The way emotions take care of us is by anger, fear, you know, those are the emotions that help us to take care of us. Anger, fear, Paul Ekman would say disgust, but not compassion. Compassion, in this perspective, arose because it was to take care of others. So this practice of now giving compassion to ourselves is kind of new, something very new.
It's like I don't deserve it.
There is another thought about it. Compassion for myself? Why? I don't deserve it. Yes. And something interesting, and you can find it also in the teachings, it is said that you have to take care of yourself. And it's something like, maybe I have the phrase in some place, but it's like, don't stop taking care of yourself for the benefit of the many, something like that. And it seems like it makes sense, because if you are okay, it's easier to be helpful for others. If you don't take care of yourself, it wouldn't be very easy to take care of others. At least in my case, I am very aware that when I am so tired, when I am, because I have been working so much and because I haven't gone to bed early, I'm not helpful at all for the people I love. They prefer to be away. No, go to bed. And that's a common experience also. You know, no, it's because I am working for others. Okay, but you need to be in the line also of those that you benefit with your compassion.
There was a quote that I heard, they said it, I was on Facebook, but it was a Buddha quote, and it said, you can travel the entire globe and never find somebody as deserving of love as yourself. I thought that was beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's mostly quoted by, but I don't know if that's true.
Interesting, yeah. And something I'd like to share just to finish with another exercise is, and this is a reflection that comes from the teachings of Alan Wallace. And I think one way to approach to this theme or topic of compassion for myself is selfish, is just to reflect. If I give time and energy to myself, I think it's valuable to ask, to what component of this am I giving time and energy? To which components of this human being am I giving time and energy? Because it seems like there is a difference between giving time and energy to my human potentials, to my way to develop compassion, kindness, wisdom. But there are other components I can also devote energy and time in this human being, which is more activities or things that doesn't give me lasting happiness. I can devote a lot of time and energy to this human being, which doesn't give me long-lasting happiness. But I can also give time and energy to some components of this human being that helps me to be more compassionate, wise, kind, which gives me a more meaningful and long-lasting happiness. So what I have found, and maybe it's an invitation, is like, maybe if you devote time to yourself, but to what of yourself? Maybe to developing a wise heart and mind, a compassionate heart and mind, a healthy body. Maybe if you devote time to that, maybe that's not selfish.
because that really helps you to be of benefit to others. I don't know. It's a reflection that maybe it's helpful in any way. So I'd like to finish with a last exercise, and it is called a compassion. Siempre lo digo en español, algo que se dice en Spanish. And it's so easy, it's kind of compassion for daily life. So, self-compassion for daily life. So what is this about? The idea is that you think of an experience which is creating some uneasiness, no? And then when you have the experience of this uneasiness or small suffering, what you do is you recognize, oh, this is suffering. Oh, this is the way it feels. That is mindfulness. Oh, this is suffering. The second part is just telling yourself, and I think I'm not the only one. I am not the only one who is experiencing this. And the third part is, may I be kind to myself because this hurts. So I'll invite you to do this maybe 3 to 5 minutes exercise. Please think of something that creates pain. Normally it comes the biggest pain of your life. That's completely normal. So please, let's think about the scala.
The scale.
¿No te parece? Similar. So think of a scale of 1 to 10. 10 is the strongest pain you're experiencing. 1 is like, oh, I need to scratch like this, you know? Like, so please think in 1 difficulty on 3. Or maybe 4 in the scale. Am I clear in that? Yes? So it comes to 10. Okay, the 10, okay, wait there. I am starting with problem. Yeah. So please think about that and let me know, do you have it already on your mind? Please raise your hand if you have some of that in your mind. Okay, maybe 1 more minute. Something that creates some uneasiness, you know, maybe. You know, something which is not very comfortable. Okay, so please, if you have your eyes open and it's okay for you, just close your eyes for a second. If you feel uncomfortable with this, you can keep your eyes open. Maybe taking 1 or 2 deep breaths just to help your body to settle. And think about this uneasiness, this difficult experience. And notice, how does it feel in your body? Where in the body you feel this difficult emotion? And once you recognize it, just acknowledge, oh, this is pain or this is suffering. This is the way anger feels, or this is the way anxiety feels, or whatever emotion. And then you can also think, well, suffering is a human experience. Maybe there are others who are experiencing this right now, in this very room, in this room here. And maybe there are others who are experiencing a more intense pain than this. So this is suffering, and I am not alone in this experience. I share this common humanity with all beings. And then, using any of the gestures, if that's okay for you,
any of the gestures that helps you to arise kindness, maybe your hand on your chest, or one hand in the belly, another on your chest, or maybe one hand on your cheek. Just repeating in your mind with a soft voice, with a voice that you would use for a small child who is experiencing hardship. May I be okay? May I be kind to myself because this hurts. May I be free of this suffering. May I experience ease, inner peace, joy. And maybe you can expand this compassion to other people who is experiencing similar suffering. And just think for a moment. May others be free from suffering, because it hurts. May others too be free from fear and anxiety. May others also be healthy and strong. Just allowing your heart to open and to shine this compassion and loving kindness to yourself and others. Releasing any tension and allowing this to happen in your heart. I invite you to be aware of the experience of kindness and common humanity and mindfulness. Listen to this sound. Anytime you feel ready, just release the gesture, and at your own time, open your eyes. Thank you, friend. Any announcement, Rich? Thank you so much for your patience.
Thank you.
Have a nice week.